Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael, family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Sarah Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I suggest that you all grab your notepads, your iPads, your your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, your Bibles, your study dictionaries, all those things that you would need for great, great study. And if you can hear me, give me a thumbs up or shout me out. Let me know that you can hear me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Start off with a opening prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. As we come in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways and in your truth. We ask of thee to continue to open our eyes to the wonders of your word. Open our ears to hear the truth of your word. Guide our feet to walk straight according to your ways and according to your path of righteousness. We ask of thee to open our minds to hear your word as it's being spoken to us by the representative that you have chosen to speak to us. We ask of thee also to allow us to hear thy spirit as it speaks to us individually. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways, both mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Continue to help out, heal our bodies, heal our minds, heal our spirit. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us and give us the wisdom on how to utilize the full armor. We ask of thee to continue to allow us to radiate fruit of thy spirit so that those who see us will understand and see the character of Yahushua that dwells within us. Father, we ask of thee to continue to show us mercy, continue to show us kindness. We ask of thee, O Father, continue to strengthen us to change our ways. Father, we ask of thee to also help us to recognize the things that we're not doing right so that we can get them right. And that way we won't have to be corrected by you. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in your Son, Yahushua. Continue to help us to stand on his word. And continue to help us to be what you want us to be. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage. The remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom once again, Israel, family and listening audience. We had another session. This is the second session of Can It Be That Simple? And this particular lesson is, you know, as we're going to say, it's off the cuff. You know, the Father had a thought on my mind and, you know, came home and sat down at the computer and he led me through his word. And hopefully, you know, he can... You understand the message that he was putting on my mind. And one of the things, you know, that came to my mind is, you know, like last session we was talking about, you know, the Feast of Booths. And one of the things I was saying last week was how, you know, the Feast of Booths was one of those feasts that Israel wasn't keeping for a minute. And also, you know, during the feast when it was brought, you know, not saying I forgot, but I'm going to say I did forget. But it was brought out that the Feast of Booths is one of those feasts, one of those three feasts in which a pilgrimage feast, in which the men are supposed to come to Jerusalem or come to the temple, yeah, come to Jerusalem and give up an offering. And it's just so ironic that for this feast, for people to think that it's not as important as the other feasts. Like for years, I've always said that this particular feast is the one that the Father is doing his last weeding out period, the last weeding period, the period in which he say, okay, y'all got to let the world go. Let the world go and hang out with me out here in my elements, out here in my surroundings. You know, whereas we go, we go camping, we go do the tent living. But, we separate ourselves from the world. We take everything that we might need and the Father makes it happen. He provides. He provided us for the means to get there. He provided us for he provides for us. And this is like that feast that we sit and we meditate on his word. We fellowship with family. It's one of those feasts that, because when you're in that element, you're not even thinking about the world. Especially if you made the commitment to not, to be separated from the world, I must say. Yes, the feast is saying, the first day is a holy convocation and the eighth day is a holy convocation. But the whole feast is about separating from the world. So if you come and you celebrate on the first day, you get that ha, ha, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you go to work the next day. And then the following day, and you come back out, yeah, you're hanging out. Oh, man, this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. And then you leave and you go back to work. What are you doing? Are you really separating within your mind to be with the Father? Or are you just separating for the sake of for that moment? When we... we read in the scriptures, we're supposed to be a daily sacrifice, getting ourselves right on that day. Because we never know when he's going to say, time's up. Never know. Throughout the course of this feast, it was times that I was a little saddened, because one of the brothers who taught, he was bringing up about reminiscing of days of old. And it was really nice. You go back and you remember the good times and some things that, the history of the things that happened. And then you look in the mirror or you stand still and you look at the day and you look around and you're like, wow, what a difference a day made. Because people don't see the importance of this particular feast. All feasts are important. There's no feast greater than the other. But we learned over the years, keeping these feasts are a rehearsal for something that's going on in the heavens, a rehearsal to get us right, to get us prepared for what we have in store for those that identify themselves as true Israel, the ones who are waiting for the Messiah to come back, Yahushua to come back, scoop us up, and we reign with him, and getting everybody right, or bringing people to the understanding of what must be done. And see, what makes it easier for us is because we are making that commitment now. At least we're supposed to be making that commitment now. Yes, I am not perfect. I am not proclaiming to be perfect. I must say that. However, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do according to the power and the strength that the Father has given me to do. The reasoning behind some of these scriptures that the Father gave me. So we're going to start off in Proverbs I'm going to start off in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. You know, because, and the reason why the Father took me here is because people proclaim that they love Yahushua. They proclaim they love him. They proclaim that they're going to follow him. But this is a feast that he put out there. He said, put it to the prophets, hey, do these things. Do these things. And people think that it's okay to fall away. Yes, we have our issues. We have things going on in our life. But we're supposed to make a commitment, just like he made a commitment to us a long time ago. Made a commitment to us. And then we said that we would make that same commitment to him. But sometimes that world just pulls at us. Pulls at us. Don't get me wrong. It pulls at me too. It pulls at me too. You know, I didn't technically stay out there the whole time. I dipped off and I went out there into the world and got real disappointed when I went out there. Sure did. Went out there and got disappointed. I messed around and took a nap. Slept for a long time after I came back in because I was really feeling bad. Really feeling self-defeated. You know. Okay, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. And it reads, then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was his delight day by day, rejoicing before him all the time. Then we're going to go to John chapter 1, verse 3. And it reads, all came to be through him. And without him, not even one came to be that came to be. And this is going, and this is talking about Yahushua. Yahushua was right there with the Father, master workman, day by day rejoicing with the Father. Why? What was he doing? He was doing his creating. He was doing his chiseling. He was doing his smashing. You know, we read in the scripture that Yahushua chose us, students, to be his servants. Some of us he chose and he gave us extra, a little extra this, a little extra that. That's where we get our priests and our prophets and our teachers and our evangelists, you know, and our helpers, you know, and you know, those who can, you know, interpret dreams and, you know, those people. See, that will sure touch them a little better, you know, touch them a little more, you know, gave them a little more insight on things. At the same time, you know, even got the little person doing what he do, understanding that we're all one body. And he is the head. Humanity is his body. And he is the head, leading and guiding us, giving us the opportunity to get it right. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. And it reads, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you. Throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a mighty one to you and to your offspring after you. The Most High is right here. He's talking to Abraham in regards to, you know, that seed, as we know that promise seed. From here, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, to follow up on this particular scripture that Genesis 17:7. And it says, now the promise were spoken to Abraham and to his offspring. He doesn't say to descendants, as in many, but as of one, to your offspring, which is Messiah. So we have to understand that the Messiah is that promised seed, promised one, that came into this world for us. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. As we know, when we deal with Exodus, this is dealing with Moses, a prophet that Yahushua handpicked for his purpose. You shall tell Pharaoh, Yahweh said, Israel is my son. My firstborn has said to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your firstborn son. So we understand and know that the opponent, his firstborn son, is going to be killed. He's going to be killed. And that is his Messiah that he has out there in the world. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. And it reads, who are Israelites? Whose is the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service, and the promise? See, when Father took me here, because we have to understand about that adoption. See, our Father, see, that's who we follow after. But when Yahushua came into this world, he came so that we can have an opportunity to make it back to the Father. And he laid his life down so that he can gain that power over the adversary and give us a way to make it back into the kingdom. And one of the things that he said to the people, or to his disciples when he was walking along with them, he told them that he was going to give them the keys to the kingdom. And recently, our Rav has been talking to us about those keys. So far, he's mentioned two keys in regards to, as we know, I'm going to say, to the kingdom. Because when he looked at, when Rob brought it out, he was talking about, unlocking something. See, Yahushua said, I am the door. So if we have the keys, then that means we can unlock that door to the sheepfold. We can unlock that door to the kingdom. But only if we have those keys. Only if we have cleaved to that covenant. Only if we're walking in those laws, statutes, and judgments. Only if we have faith in Yahushua and what he has done. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. And it reads, I will be your mighty one. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, your mighty one, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. See, now this is, with Moses, and Yahweh is telling Israel, because as we know, Israel, he said, is my firstborn. My firstborn. And that's out of the nations, out of the world system. Out of humanity, Yisrael is his firstborn. And he said that I'm going to bring you from under that, out of that world system, because we know that Satan, or the opponent, was sent down here to the world, to the earth, and established what he had going on. And Yahweh is saying, hey, look, I'm going to pull you up out of there. But you just have to obey my voice. Just got to be obedient. Just got to do what I say. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2. And it reads, I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will break the doors of bronze in pieces and cut apart the bars of iron. Father took me to this particular scripture because, you know, if we look at our this day and time, you know, the roads are crooked and the ways of people are bad. And he's saying he'll straighten them out because I'm going to keep you on that road of righteousness. I'm going to keep you in that right path. But you have to listen to me. You have to obey my voice. You have to believe and have faith. He said, I'm going to break these doors of bronze into pieces. Sometimes we go up against, we go down different roads, and these doors are preventing us from going forward. Sometimes those doors are preventing us because the Father doesn't want us to go through those doors. He wants us to go another path. And that's where I'm at right now, you know. And I said, you know, earlier I was talking about how I was kind of disappointed and downtrodden a little bit because I went into the world, left the campground. I kind of, you know, I went on an interview while I was out there. And, you know, went on an interview, thought the interview was real good, thought I, you know, did a great job, but then the next day, you know, and I was really disappointed, you know, because this particular gig would have put me close to home. I wouldn't have been working as much. You know, it was just real ideal, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, I stand for the ways of the Most High, dropped some things on them, told them I couldn't do certain things because of the ways I live my life, and I really think that's the reason why this door was closed. But in another way, I really think that's, you know, that's not the path that the Father wanted me to be on. And I got that, you know, got that realization from one of the brothers that was out there. You know, I dropped it on him. He was like, yeah, maybe the Father, he don't want you to leave. He don't want you to leave where you are, you know. And that kind of comforted me for a spell, you know. But at the end of the day, he gave me the comfort that I needed at that time, you know. But, you know, yeah, but, and that's, you know, when we look at the scriptures and we bring it up to date and we apply them to ourselves and, you know, and he comforts us without, you know, as it says, you know, don't forsake the brotherhood. Don't forsake your family that's in this word, you know, because he didn't, you know, he just went straight to the word and said, you know, the Father got something else for you. Father got something else for you to do. And it wasn't at that place, you know, and that made me feel pretty good at that, you know, something to this moment right now. And I'm still, you know, I'm great. I'm good. From here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. And it reads, Now when we're baptized, Yahushua also had been baptized and was praying. The sky was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove on him. And a voice came out of the sky saying, you are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased. So now we're seeing, you know, Yahushua, who been in the head, you know, creating everything. Now he's down here on earth. He's down here hanging out with humanity, doing his thing. And Father took me to this scripture, John chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. This is one of the things Yahushua said to us, said to the people. Now I'm a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 18.
No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down, power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. I received this commandment from my Father. So, you know, if you read a little further down, then that shook some people. You know, because as you know, when Yahushua was on the earth, you know, it shook people. Because people really didn't understand the Torah. They was living life according to how they wanted to live life. And thinking that they was teaching the people the proper way, when in essence they weren't. So now we're going to go to Matthew's. Matthew's 22, 1 through 14. And Father took me to this particular scriptures because of, you know, the feast that we were in, this Feast of Booths. And like I said, how I was feeling when I was there, you know, because there wasn't that many people hanging out. But the good thing is, while we was out there, we met some people. You know, we had the opportunity to exchange numbers with some people that was out there keeping the feast. We had an opportunity to reunite with a family that, you know, we had met some years ago, and they was out there, and then the family had expanded. And that was a good thing. That was a good thing, you know. But like I said, you know, sometimes you want to look to the left and look to the right and see your brothers and sisters, you know. You want to see those who, when they were, you know, they was kids just running around and having fun out there in the bushes, you know, in the park, and, you know, just having a good time enjoying those elements. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1, and it reads, Yahushua answered and spoke to them again in a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a wedding feast for his son and sent out his servant to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my cattle and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest grabbed his servant and treated them shamefully and killed them. When the king heard that, he was angry and sent his armies, destroying those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Go therefore to the intersections of the highways, and as many as you may find, invite them to the wedding feast. Those servants went out into the highway and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. The wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man who did not have on the wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here not wearing the wedding clothes? He was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and throw him into the outer darkness. That is where the weeping and grinding of teeth will be. For many are called, but few chosen. From here, we're going to go to another parable in Matthew's. Matthew's 25, verse 1 to 13. Verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Those who were foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for the lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "What if there isn't enough for us and you? You go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." While they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up to us." But he answered, "Most certainly I tell you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." From here, the Father sent me to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33, and it reads, "They feared Yahweh and also served their own gods after the ways of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. To this day, they do what they did before. They do not fear Yahweh, and they do not follow the statutes and the ordinances or the laws or the commandments which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob. He called Israel." 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. We've heard this scripture many, many times. And it reads, "Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two sides? If Yahweh is mighty one, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' The people did not say a word." See, family, Father took me here because we as Israel, we need to stop eating off of so many different plates. We need to follow the Lamb wherever he should go, under the guidance of the person in whom he has you sitting under. If you have a problem with the person you're sitting under, make a decision. This is what Elijah said. Because when we deal with this particular scripture, he's not talking to the nations. He is talking to Israel. And when we deal with these prophets that are being talked about, these 850 prophets, these are different people or different groups of Israel who are serving different deities, different understandings, different comprehension, different, they're being divided at the end of the day. Israel is being divided by isms and schisms. We read in chapter 17, what is it talking about? They're taking the ways and mingling it with the ways of the world and trying to make it right, when in essence it's not right, because those things are not what Yahweh has put out there. One of the things that Yahweh told Israel when they was going into these nations, he told them, do not do what they told them, to stand firm in his word, keep his law, statutes, and judgments. Follow the leaders in whom he have put in front of them. But as we know, when they came out of Israel, there was a mixed multitude. We understand that. When he came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude. stand corrected.
And when that mixed multitude, that means there was different people, different understandings, different this, different that. But as we progress and go through the scriptures, Israel took on the ways of the nations in which they came across. No different than the day. No different. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate one and love the other, or else he will be devoted by the other. You cannot serve both the mighty one and mammon." And if you look up mammon, it's talking about money. James chapter 1, verse 8. And it reads, "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So if you have a person who is trying to serve Yahweh and trying to serve their intellect, or trying to serve Yahweh and trying to serve their wealth, trying to serve Yahweh and trying to be friends with the world, you're a double-minded person and you're unstable. Scripture talks about being lukewarm. I spit you out his mouth and count you as being sinner. Because he really, you know, because when you deal with someone who's lukewarm, you don't know how they're doing. They tap dancing from side to side. They straddling the fence. Family, we understand that Yahushua came to save us. He understands that we're going to fall short. But we can't put forth an effort not to keep his feast and then come up with an excuse later on to justify why we didn't keep his feast or keep his holy days or keep his Sabbaths or forsake the fellowship, forsake the brotherhood. These are different things that he's talking about in his word, that we as Israel are supposed to be a family. We're supposed to be one body speaking the same things. If we don't understand something, then we're supposed to ask. And you ask and ask and ask until you get an answer, until you get understanding. Can't tap dance and listen to this person and listen to that person. Because if you're listening to this person, you might mess around and miss something. The feast or the time or the holy convocation in which the Father say, "Come together, because I'm going to be there." So friends and family, as we approach this, you know, we're getting in, we're going to the fall of the year. Eventually, we're going to be getting into the winter months. Strengthen yourself in his ways and in his truth. Strengthen yourself, your faith in his word. Strengthen yourself in your faith in whom he has chosen. As one of the things I'll say that I've learned over the years, Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel used to tell us, "Don't take my word for it. Search it out. Search it out. Ask me questions about what I didn't say based on what you didn't found. Because I'm a brother to you just like you're a brother or sister to me. And I'm not always right. I too can be corrected because I too want to make it into that kingdom. And if you have the wisdom to help me to get into that kingdom, help me out."
Because no one is perfect but Yahushua. No one is perfect. I fall short just like everybody else. But the scriptures say, all has fallen short of the glory of God, of the mighty one. Our thoughts are constantly, my thoughts are not his thoughts, nor my ways his ways. My thoughts are constantly wicked. That's why I have to cleanse my ways through utilizing his word. Just as my brother, calm my spirit. So family and friends, just want to just reiterate, all of Yahweh's feasts are important. Yahushua laid his life down for us. These are the things that he say we should do. Tells us to listen to his voice. And his voice is the word of the Most High. Because he was right there with him. And the Most High told him these things to pass down to us. And the Yahushua wants us to meet the Father. When we deal with the Feast of Booths, that's what it's actually talking about. We've learned that over the years. When we come into that eighth day, the scripture really doesn't say too much about the eighth day. But we've come to realize that that eighth day is pointing to the millennium, that time in which we will see the head. We will see the Father that Yahushua proclaimed. The Father that Yahushua had faith in. And if we have faith in Yahushua, then that means we have faith in the Father also. But we have to demonstrate it. We can't talk about it. We got to be about it. Talk the talk and walk the walk. Yes. It is strenuous at times. But there's a scripture to say, joy comes in the morning. If he allows you to wake up in the morning, that means he's giving you another opportunity to get it right. He is resurrecting you from the dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all you've done and all you will do. Father, we ask for thee to continue to soften our hearts so that we can keep your law, statutes, and judgments. We ask for thee, O Father, to continue to open our ears so that we can hear your word, Father, through thy Son, Yahushua. Father, we ask for thee to continue to open our eyes so that when we read the scriptures, we can see what Yahushua has done for us through the examples of what he has done for others. The same thing he did for others, the same thing he can do for us. But we have to believe. We have to stand firm in his truth, which is your truth, O Father. Father, we ask thee to continue to strengthen us, both mentally, physically, emotionally. As you said in your word, Aya, Asha, Aya. You will be what we need you to be, Father. Through thy Son, Yahushua. We ask thee, Father, to continue to give us the strength that we need. Continue to open our minds and realize that you go before us and you clear the path for us. You make our crooked path straight. You open those doors for us because that's what you said you would do. But you also want us to reciprocate and do what we're supposed to do. You don't want us to overuse grace, overuse your mercy. You don't want us to do those things. Father, we thank you for choosing us to walk in your ways, to uplift Yahushua's name. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to strengthen us to fight the fight that we have within. And look to you and your Son for strength. For it is through your will and your will only that all things happen in our lives. And all things are according to your purpose. Thank you, Father, for strengthening our family, our friends. Thank you, Father, for the health and strength that you've given us. We thank you for the recoveries that you're constantly doing for us. We thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you, Yahushua, for loving us. May we love you just as you love us. May we continue to show your love to our friends and our family and those in whom we come in contact with. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, healed of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber. May Yahweh protect you in your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. Constantly standing with your full armor and ready, demonstrating the fruit or the character of Yahushua all times. Yahushua's holy and precious name. Amen.